Bible and go to Matthew 5. And the message today, or the lesson today, is kind of a challenge for us. Having traveled a lot in my life, and as you know, I traveled as an artist, and I wanted to do some art today. I really did. But it's such a hassle to bring it in, set it up, and the chalkboard, the chalk, and all the stuff, the light system. And to top it off, I'm allergic to the chalk, always have been. So I wear the rubber gloves and all this stuff. So I just didn't do it, but you'll have to take my word for it. My heart was in it, but the old man in me, somehow that got in there, said, yeah, you're too old to cut the mustard anymore. So I quit chalk drawing a while back and haven't done it much anymore. But there's a chalk picture that goes with this line of lesson here, because I went all over the country preaching this thing. So in Matthew 5, if you find your place, I want to read two verses, but the actual text is Matthew 5, 1 through 16. And we won't take the Sunday school time to read all those passages. We're just going to read verse 13 and verse 14 in just a moment. But last week, if you remember, we preached out of the book, or taught out of the book of Isaiah, and the title of the lesson was "The Mission Is the Same." And we talked about how Isaiah, in the year of King Uzziah, saw the vision of the Lord, and you know, remember the story, and it trickles down, and in the presence of the Lord, with the seraphims and the angelic hosts and all that was there. But Isaiah was found in the midst of that, very humble man, very honored to be in the presence of the Lord. And they one flew to the altar and took a live coal off of the altar of God and put it on the lips of Isaiah. And God used him, wanted to use him. And he said that famous phrase, "Here am I, send me." And we may wonder, why did God just send an angel to do this preaching? He will in the tribulation period. Well, why not for the church? Well, God chose, God's ways are not our ways, and he chose man to reach mankind. And we taught that lesson last week. But this week, we're going to go to the New Testament in the book of Matthew 5, and if you've probably found your place now, I want you to notice two passages, and I'll try to teach along these lines. I do have an outline. I don't know that I'll get to it, but I'm going to try to get to it and say it is a huge world that we're responsible for. And in that vein, I want to say it is a hungry world. And lastly, I want to point up the fact that it is a hurting, it hurts, it's a hurting world. But will I get that far? I doubt it. But anyway, Matthew chapter 5, verse, you knew I had good intentions. Matthew 5, and if you look there in verse 13, Jesus is saying here to the disciples, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Verse 14. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." And we could go on, but for the sake of our Sunday school few moments, we will use these two verses of scriptures. And the title of the lesson is "Salt and Light for the World." Throughout history, God has referred to his people. And when I say that, I'm the people that know God. And if you step into where we live in the New Testament, to the saved people. We've been referred to in various ways, especially in the scripture, in the Word of God. The children of God are sometimes called his family. In the book of 1 John, referred to as the family of God. And we're sometimes referred to as a holy nation. And I have preached before in a series, a nation within a nation. The church, the saved folks, are an actual nation referred to by God as a holy nation within a wicked nation. And then we're also referred to who as a peculiar people. And you've heard that. Yeah, Christians are peculiar. Well, God said you were. And we're also referred to as soldiers. Yeah, I'm a soldier of the cross. Or servants. I'm just a servant of the Lord. Or saints. They say, well, they're the saints of God. And we're referred to as that once you are saved. And we're a lot of the time just referred to as brethren, because they start off the scriptures with brethren. And then a lady that's saved in the Lord is oftentimes referred to as a sister in the Lord. And a man, a brother. And it's not unusual to hear somebody say, hey, brother, what's going on? We're referred to as little children, especially John writes, my little children. And that's not a downplay. He's actually upbraiding in that, you know how a child likes to learn and likes to please you as they learn. He referred to us as little children because we're always learning and we're learning more about God day by day. And that's where we're pliable and we're teachable, and the child is teachable. That's the reference. Referred to as little children, as well as many other titles in the Word of God, as your mind begins to think, well, yeah, over here he calls us this and calls us that. But here in the book of Matthew chapter 5, where I've just read, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. He calls you salt and light. Now, you may have never, when's the last time somebody said, hey, salt, how you doing? We just don't say that. Hey, light, how you doing? We just don't say it. But we have heard people say, yeah, he's a little salty when he goes to preaching, man. You just don't know what he's going to say. Or when they're a salty witness, man. You've heard that. Yeah, they're going to shine a little light on something for you. And so we've heard it like that. But Jesus said, you're the salt of the world. You're the light of the world. And that got me to thinking about old messages I had preached and taught. And this isn't one of them. This is brand new. I just put this together. But I got to thinking about a chalk jaw that I drew. And I would have a maritime scene of a lighthouse and a seashore and a ship or a boat, a fishing boat. And I would put those things in steps, and I would preach on the sea, which produced a lot of salt in those days. And they would go out and evaporate the water. And you know the story. And the lighthouse shone the light so people could find their way. And then it had a hidden picture in it. I'm telling you all about it now. A hidden picture in it when I was all done. And when we ran into its light show, you could see a hidden picture in that chalk draw. And that was one of the, I've been asked many times, would you do the lighthouse and ship picture for our church? And I would go to the same church every year, and I'd be doing the same chalk draw about every year, trying to tweak the message so it was a little different. But the hidden picture was a picture that glowed so bright, and it come out, and it was, it'll get your attention, because you know, you can be as salty as you want to be. You can shine as bright as you think you want to shine. But that emblem that showed up in the dark was a dove, which represented the Holy Ghost of God. And you can get all the saltiness you want and all the light you want. And without the Holy Ghost of God, you still have nothing. And so that was that message. But this isn't that message today. I just wanted to tell you about the drawing. And here, Jesus has just proclaimed the blessed life. Because here in Matthew chapter 5, if we had read the whole thing, it's called the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they that blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And those passages are pretty familiar with anybody that across the board when it comes to religion, and they're known as the Beatitudes, and people kind of, you know, they'll more readily talk about the Beatitudes than they will that we are salt and light. So these Beatitudes, there's some very significant things that are omitted from this list. And if you think about it just for a moment, in the news media were to comment. I don't know if you've been watching any news, if you can stand to watch the news. Haiti's in trouble. And my last missions adventure was to go to Haiti for a veteran missionary I knew and patch a cistern. The cistern earthquake or something had cracked it, and said, well, how'd that go? I don't know. I didn't go. I said, I'm just too old to do all that anymore. But we'd done that many times in many different places for any kind of cement structure. But now Haiti's in a mess. Have you noticed? The gangs run everything. They're standing in president, whoever he is, can't even get back. He's been in Africa trying to get troops to come and fortify his government in Haiti and put the gangs down. And the gangs just liberated over 5,000 prisoners who are running rampant in that country and trying to have their own coup and overthrow what little government's there. It's in a mess. I'll talk about that a little later. But if the media were to respond or report, if the news media were to report, or the philosophers of the day were to write or speak, or a motivational speaker, that's a big thing today, it might sound like this. Blessed are they that have great power. Well, can't you hear them now? Blessed are they who have wealth. Sounds like a politician. Blessed are the educated. Yeah. Blessed are they that are talented. Blessed are they that have a great title to their name and somehow. And that's how the world kind of views things. They uplift all those sort of things, but never do they talk about the things of the Scripture. And Jesus has made man and knows what brings real happiness, simply saying, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And I want you to understand something. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be titled wise. You don't have to be titled wealthy to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You can be poor as a church mouse and still be a witness to someone that is blind to the gospel. All those that heard him that day, the Lord, must have thought, if we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world's in trouble. Yeah, that's about right. How am I going to help this world? You understand what you're saying? And that's the kind of the thoughts that 2,000 years later, we're in 2024, this message for us yet today, for this generation, is, like I said last week, still the same. We're still considered salt and light. Salt, what is salt? I describe it. You could describe salt in many different ways. It's used for many different things. But the three different, or let's just say the three distinct purposes of just plain old table salt. It gives taste to food. You know, even the Bible says an egg, you know, you need a little salt on it. You want to enjoy the savor, the flavor of it. I made some bread this week. I've been doing all the cooking. I enjoy cooking. And Bonnie said she wasn't even going to get better. She just let me do all the cooking. Amen's all over the building. And I made some bread at her request. I said, okay. And she wanted dill weed bread. And it's just dill, you know, 2 cups of flour sifted, you know. Why am I going through this? Well, not only the salt and light, I was going through how I made this bread. And I used a teaspoon of yeast, a teaspoon of sugar, and a teaspoon of salt. But Brother Phil forgot the salt in the dill bread. And it rose nicely. I put some avocado oil over it and let it rise and put it in a loaf pan and baked it. Man, I put the little slits in the top. It come out so good. It was so nice. And we will eat it. But when I... She says, well, I'm glad you made it without any salt. I'm not supposed to eat salt. But I forgot the salt. It got me thinking about the lesson this morning. Man, when you've got a good recipe, but you don't have any salt, you're going to know it. Amen. You're going to know it. But salt, it gives taste to food. And that's kind of what we are. We're supposed, if we're the salt of the earth, then there's a savoriness to us when we're around other people. And, you know, have you ever been just around somebody and this kind of rub you the wrong way? Stay over there. And, you know, they're argumentative or loud, or they're not conducive to any conversation that you might be interested in. And you're just like, ugh. They know you're a Christian, so they start telling bad jokes. And yeah. But if we're the salt of the earth, there should be a savoriness about us that should add that savoriness to any conversation we might find ourselves in with another human being. And might we say, well, they might want what you have. They might want to talk to you again another time because you had some kind of Bible knowledge and you didn't come across so miserably arrogant or religious or cocky. It was kind of fun to talk to you. And that's a savoriness that the salt, when he says we're the salt of the earth, it could be used in our everyday conversation or everyday life. Be pleasant to be around, but stay centered on the things of God. So it gives taste to food. It preserves that which it covers. Old timers, and you've had grandmas and grandpas and heard them talk about salting food, salting fish, salt pork, so on and so forth. We used it to preserve things. In the Old Testament, salt was applied to a sacrifice when they offered it. Many times there's a plan for the Old Testament sacrifices, which are no more, but they used salt in the sacrifice because it had a preserving power. So that's one of the distinct uses. And if you're a Christian and are grounded in the Word of God with knowledge of the Scriptures, when you have a conversation with someone, and if someone, you know, if the door opens and they're kind of looking for light on this or that, and you have some wisdom from the Scriptures, that very Word of God could be the very preservation that they need to make it to the next step in their life. Salt, three distinct purposes. The third one, it has a healing effect. They say, well, you know, I cut myself the other day. Well, soak it in salt water. You ever heard that? Say, why? It draws out all the poison, all the junk. Yeah. I remember the first time we went to the coast in Florida. We were just young, you know, and got into the water. Man, I couldn't believe that salt water, man. It purged you. I don't know if it would now. There's probably so much pollutant in it. I don't know. But salt water is an amazing thing. And people soak in the Arkansas Springs and the salt water springs and the salt sea and the Dead Sea and different places. And they get these packs of salt. And you've probably got Epsom salt in your... Oh, I don't know. Soap. You say, what is it? It's savoriness for food. It's preservation for many things. And it's healing power. So when the Lord wasn't just idly throwing something out there, he said, you're the salt of the earth. So there's quite an impact of information with what the Lord said. Light. We're going to look at these two, salt and light. That's salt, now light. It's for the dispelling of darkness and also has three distinct purposes. It provides guidance. We never went coon hunting, Brother Tom, without a lantern. My dad was big on a coal oil lantern. And then somehow he got on a kick. He had a carbide headlight on his head, strapped around his head. I can remember Uncle Miller said, Willie, and that's what they called my dad, Willie, what in the world are you got on your head? He said, a carbide light. We was going coon hunting. I was just a kid, 12 years old, so. And Miller making fun of him with that big band on his head and that big, oh, he said, man, I can see a coon's eye 50 foot up in the tree with this thing. And that light hissing the whole time, you know, a little piece of carbide in there and some water dripping down on it and light that thing. And he said, the coal miners use them. But light, isn't that something? Ye are the light of the world. So light, as you look at that thing, it provides a guidance. Obviously, somebody says, well, I need a little light on this. Can you help me here? And it's referred to as, if you can give me some guidance on this, it's referred to as light many times. It allows us to walk without stumbling. He says, thy word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my path and a light. And in the book of Psalms, and he talks about it keeping you from stumbling in this life. And by the way, if you can keep from stumbling and you can go the right way, you possibly can help somebody else see. We use the phrase, have you seen the light? And who's the songwriter famous? He's gone now. I believe it was Hank Williams. I saw the light, in reference to just what the scripture's saying right there. And I don't know if that's why he wrote it, but I'm giving him a lot of benefit of the doubt here. But that's kind of how I took it. I don't know. But it creates an atmosphere in which good things can be accomplished. You know, you can see one candle. If you've got a pitch black night and you can't see your hand in front of your face and somebody lights a candle 8 miles away, you can see that light. Whoa! Hence the lighthouse. You're out on a storm-tossed sea and you don't know where the shoal is, where the rocks are, but you can see the light. And one of my favorite things to paint and draw has been all my life are lighthouses. When I'd preach in Michigan, I'd always go to the Great Lakes and go down the coast when I had the time and see the lighthouses and take pictures of them so I could paint them later. I've always loved maritime. I painted a picture this week, a big one, 48 by 24. It's humongous. It's got the foggy night. It's got an old ship. And it's got these lights. And those lights, I guess I've been thinking about the lesson. I put the lesson together earlier in the week. And it kind of, being an artist, it made me want to do something. So I painted that picture. I didn't bring it. But, it creates an atmosphere in which good things can be accomplished. You know, atmosphere for an artist is a very hard thing to paint. You can paint fog, you can paint bright lights, bright skies, clouds, no clouds, black clouds, blue clouds, purple clouds. You know what? One little light. Isn't that amazing? The Lord said, ye are the salt of the earth, and ye are the light of the world. Wonderful. When we think about the symbols of salt and light, we are confronted with the world in which we live, i.e., I want to get to my outline just a little bit. The world in which we live is a corrupt world. It needs the salt. It is a dark world and it needs the light. Hence, I thought about Haiti because it's been readily in the news. And they're begging some country to come and bring troops and resurrect a government, a democracy that's fair, and to put down the crime and the killing and all the violence that's there. I wanted to say, if we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world, my first thought was, number one, it's a huge world. Where we sit right today in the church and Sunday, and we got our Sunday best on, and we're singing songs, and we're shaking hands, and we're fellowshipping. It's kind of hard living in that bubble to understand the vastness of the world that is out there. I don't just mean Dearborn County or Fayette County or Franklin County or any of the counties, Switzerland County. I mean the whole thing. You know, the whole world. I don't think it ever dawned on me till in history class when I was about 9, 10 years old. They set a globe up, and it was a globe which represented the world that we live on, the earth that we live on. And they spin that thing, and there wasn't a lot of land mass. There was a lot of water mass. When I finally realized, I'm just barely a dot over here, not even that. And the whole world, it's huge. That's an overwhelming thing. And then when you start talking numbers, people, population, the population reached 1 billion people. That's a big number. 1 billion people in 1830, as best as the census takers could tell, the estimate. But in 2024, this year, I did the research, it has reached 8.1 billion. Now, I know your mind is trying to put zeros with that. I can't do it either. But that's a lot of people. I see the little globe sitting on the missionary's table there. It's a little globe. But when you get to looking at how many numbers of people, remember we said we were discussing back language and how you get the language in one of the lessons that we taught, and we were trying to decide, and we asked the question, does anybody know how many languages there are in the known world today with all the media that we have? And we were guessing. Somebody said 1,000, somebody said 200. There was over 7,000 different languages. But with 8.1 billion people, you can almost understand the diversity in languages. It's a huge world. And when we go back to the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, we understand. If we sit down and think about it a little bit, that's a big undertaking. And he gives that commission to the church. Say, folks, higher education didn't get it. He didn't send the angelic host to do it. He left it for the church to do. That's a great responsibility. A lot of times we get so busy with church. We come, we go, and we're in church on Sunday. We look our best, we sing our best, we give our money. And as soon as we go back out that door on Monday, it's back to the old grind. And man, it's, you know, I work construction all my life. And it's rough out there. And you know, because you go out there and work. But in essence, once we understand the responsibility, we understand when we go to work, it's our mission field. So we begin to witness, and people get saved on the job site. And sometimes we go the extra mile, and people get saved someplace else. And we still go. We're going Friday night. This Friday night, I have brothers and sisters. We're all antiques. I'm 74. Debbie's 75, 76. Artie's 72. We're all up in our 70s. Joni's 70. Margie's the only young one in the bunch. She's 68. Say, what are you going to do? We're going to go up to the nursing home, sing a bunch of songs. Gabbard Family Sings. We did that all of our life. And it's pretty good in these last years. We can still do it. Now, my mom told me, she says, now, look, I won't be able to stand up there and sing with you now. She says, but I'll hum over there. I can still hum harmony. I said, okay, you got her, Mom. 95 years old. Going to hum harmony. Say, what are you doing? Just trying to be a light. Just trying to be that savoriness that might cause somebody to say, hey, I wish I had what you guys got. Well, you can have it because it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not found in your religion. It's not found in the churches that are so fair. But it's found in Jesus Christ. The salvation that is so full and so free if you will trust Christ. So we get a chance to be a witness for Christ. I always ask me to open up in prayer. I'm like them old Nazarene preachers. Man, don't ask me to open up prayer. Oh, God, there's sinners here today, and I'm praying now for them that they get saved. Yeah, I'm preaching a message, and I'm supposed to be praying. I can hear one of the siblings saying, okay, now don't go to preaching when you're praying now. Just pray. Now I lay my soul down to sleep and pray that God... Enough. I won't do that. Say, what are you doing? Let my light shine, man. When I was a little kid singing in the choir, back when I was just got saved, I sang that. I remember singing that song, gonna let my little light shine, man. Now I'm an old man. I'm still singing, let my little light shine. I'm still singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Say, why? You say, aren't you afraid at your age acting like that? It will offend somebody? No, I'm the salt of the earth. And by this time, in this age, in this gray hair, I can get away with it. Yeah, oh, he's getting senile. He's always talking about Jesus. Yeah, I guess that's right. Well, you think you're the pastor of the nursing home up here? Well, yeah, when I'm here, why not? Nobody else is doing it. You know. But the world is huge, but the very place that you live and work, we live in a huge world. Do something for let your light shine. Be a little salt, a little savoriness. And I want to say, it's a hungry world. Brother, this world, Jesus, if Jesus is the bread of life, he's the water of life, this world is hungry. It's starving to death for the bread of life. The population in the huge world reached 8.1 billion. Now over 4,000 people starve to death every day, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica 2021. You say, starve to death? Yeah, literally starve to death. They don't have anything to eat. It is difficult for North American people to comprehend the very fact. People in other parts of the world starve to death. You don't but have to tune in because of media now. And I am not pro-Palestinian. Do you understand that? But a lot of those people are starving to death because they can't get food. We're airdropping food in now. It's a humanitarian thing. They're building a portable dock to reach out and say, what? And they're just trying to get them physical bread. Can I submit this to you today? Because of the vastness and the hugeness of the world that we live in, because of the 8.1 billion people that populate this earth, they're starving to death for God. Every kind of religion on the face of the earth. So go to any of the third world countries. I've been to third world countries. I've watched people. They get by on literally nothing. I've been to Mexico many times where my kids are. It's nothing for Beth and Jordan to take food over every week to give to people. Say, where do they get it? People give it to them. There's a lot of, they live down there in that Yuma, San Luis area, and And I think a lot of those Canadian folks and people that come from the north, they bring stuff in and they give things away. They give food away, clothes away, and they give them to Jordan and Beth because they're missionaries, and they take them in and make sure poor people get them. You say, why? People are not only starving for food, but they're starving for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? You get in a third world country, they'll just about always take a tract. You go downtown Cincinnati on Fountain Square and try to pass out tracts, they won't take them. But you get in Mexico and stand in the square there, and I've been there, and I've preached there, and I've drew pictures there. They'll take anything you got. My friend Gary Schwer texts me a little something every week. He's down in Mexico. He says, you've been prayed for because we pray for each other. He's in the gospel printing and delivery business, and he just delivered 90,000 pieces of literature, John and Romans, Bibles, and tracts just this week. And that doesn't happen. That happens every month with those guys. He's putting tracts in. He gets them from Bearing Precious Seed. He gets them from Victory Baptist Press. You say, what's he doing? He's taking the gospel to places where they're starving to death for the Word of God. He's being the salt and the light. It's a hungry world. And lastly, let me say this. It's a hurting world. I'm out of time. Hurting. This hurting happens in any demographic, any culture, any economic condition or any other factor. The world as we see it today is hurting. All over the world, horrible tragedies are occurring. Just in America alone, abortion is off the chart. Yeah, we're hurting. Wars, everywhere you turn, there's a war someplace. Israel is now fighting Hamas, and there's wars every place. The gangs rose up there in Hades, and they're fighting. There's fighting all over the globe. The world is hurting today, and it needs some light, and it needs some salt. So the drugs, the AIDS epidemic, the hunger epidemic, any kind of epidemic, the world is hurting. Morality is at an all-time low in the world today. Practically everything we say that's got any holiness to it at all, any word of God, is challenged anywhere we go. You just rise up and tell somebody you want to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's in a community, even in America, oh, well, you can pray, but don't pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. We're hurting. Okay, the question for the whole lesson, I'm done, I'm out of time. The question, are you making a difference in the place where God has placed you? Are you salt and light? Not asking if you're brother or sister. I'm assuming you are. Are you making a difference? That's our lesson this morning, and it's kind of mission-oriented, and it's a challenge, and hopefully that you'll find some way that you can be the savoriness or the light to someone that needs to see the way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a chance to preach and teach your word. Bless our services now, especially the song service, the offerings, and all that's done. Bless the preaching hour, those that come in. Would you suit a blessing, especially here, and save that one that's nearest hell. Now, it's in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray and ask all these things. Amen. Good morning, and God bless you.